Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's so good to have you with us. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us, too. I believe you're with us. Amen. I am going to get right to the confession as soon as I finish getting set up here. Getting YouTube going or Facebook going. Good evening, Richard. It's so good to see you on YouTube. We were having some heavy-duty discussion on Zoom earlier about the state of things right now. So that's what took us so long. That's what took us so long getting set up. But we got some ground covered, and what everything comes down to right now is prayer and boldness in prayer and knowing who you are in Christ. And we have dominion over these demonic spirits that are manifesting through people, and it's so vital to us right now that we remember that. Here we go. Let me pull up, only because I know Pastor is going to have me reading in a minute. Usually I'll send some of these shares out after we get going, but let me do it right now so that people know to connect with us. Hopefully everyone is continuing to keep track of things that are going on, knowing what's going on in our area. Now you have to be very careful that we don't become absorbed and overrun in our thoughts of it. Sister Sunday was just talking about that too, and I know Sister Donna and our morning prayer program had talked about that too. She has to be very careful. Well, we all need to be very careful to not let it start overrunning our minds with fear. And that's why it's a really, really good thing to be part of the prayer program in the morning too, because there's, besides speaking these prayers and declarations, which instills that boldness in us to start with, we're also changing the atmosphere and changing the things as we go. So, all right, as Pastor said, I'll get us going right now with our pledges and our opening prayers. I actually think I'll pull up that Watchman prayer for us too. All right. Let's start out with our pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And then our pledge to the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And let's pray our community of faith opening prayer. And remember, in this whole first part, you're declaring who you are in Christ. And we need to remember that position now more than ever, who we are. Father, we pray these prayers and make these declarations as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And let's pray these two verses over Jerusalem, over the United States of America, and not only every lost person in our lives, but we also pray these over these terrorists that are trying over these terrorists. Let's leave it at that. Jeremiah 24:7, that God will give them a heart to know him, that he is the Lord, and they shall be his people, and he will be their God. For they shall return to him with their whole hearts. And Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. And now let me real quick. Whoops. I don't want to go there if I don't have to. I do want to pull up a couple of our other prayers that we pray in the morning prayer program. They're very empowering and very important. So let's pray them for together. This is the Watchman Decree. Here we go. As a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation concerning its people and their rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whereas we, the church, are God's governing body on this earth, whereas we have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority, whereas we are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth, whereas through the power of God, we are the world influencers, whereas because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy, and we make our declarations. We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult. Let's also say we stand against terrorism of every form and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare and we now take back our God-given freedoms. According to our Constitution, we declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us for God. We declare that our nation is energy independent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically. We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or rights in our land, nor over our people. We decree that we will operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation. And we decree that America shall be saved. And these declarations are so important now as we're realizing how much of the terrorist actions have already tried to move in to the United States of America. And this is where we have our control. We control it through our words, through prayer, through declaration, through boldness, knowing that we have control over the enemy. Through that, here we go. We stand in victory. Father, we know how the story ends. You conquer evil once and for all, banish the serpent, and restore the earth. And we know how the story of this season will end. You will shake down evil and bring the greatest revival planet Earth has ever seen. You will not be outsmarted, outmaneuvered, or overcome. The worthy lamb is the conquering lion. The gentle shepherd is the white horse rider. He holds the keys and he is the supreme judge. We are following him. We represent him and his victory at Calvary. We are his reaping force, his liberators, and we move in his authority. We bind every strategy of hell to stop this great harvest, confuse the church, and steal our faith-filled hope. We are and will continue to release living water to the stump called America, and this stump will grow into a tree once again. Then we will release this living water as a river to the nations of the earth, and entire nations will be saved and transformed. Nothing can stop this. It has already been decided. We speak revival into the Middle East. We send these words into the airwaves, the atmosphere of the earth today, and declare that they will accomplish everything you, God, our Father, intended for them. Not one will return void, because we do so in the name of Jesus. We command a shaking into the strongholds of darkness in the Middle East and around the world, and we release the love and salvation of God to people there. We silence the voices of confusion, and we bind every effort of darkness. All of this we ask in Yeshua's name, amen. And we decree that we, the ecclesia, are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and this will not change. Amen. And amen. Oh my goodness, I never shared the screen. I so apologize. Ah, somebody should have jumped on and said that we can't say it with you. Well, hopefully everybody was in agreement and saying amen, but oh, if we could have said the words together, I so apologize. Well, here we go. To you, Pastor. My goodness. Are you with us? It appears that he's not. So I know that he was going to be teaching on the blood of Jesus tonight. So let's open our Bibles. I'd offer to put these verses up on the screen too, but then I wouldn't share the screen. My goodness, yes, I would now. I take back those words. It's okay. As long as we're in agreement, in unity together, it's just nice when we can all say the words together, but we'll be all right. Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. You know what? Maybe I will pull those up and put them on the screen just in case any of you are in a place where you're not able to pull your Bible out. It's always, always, always nice to hold God's word in your hand as you're reading it. But we realize that sometimes that's just not feasible. Whoops. Well, where did my, there we go. Some days our technologies just want to play games. Here we go. Where did they say we were going? Hebrews? Hebrews, James. I know it's in here someplace. There we go. All right. Okay, if I don't actually share the screen this time, somebody say something to me, my goodness. Here we go. Hebrews 9, verse 1. I think this is where Pastor was going to be teaching some, so we'll just go ahead. Thank you, Richard, for amening with me. Here we go. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. Hold on. Let me make sure. Lost my mouse for a second there. Verse 2, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Oh, I should pull up our Rose book. Pastor used that a lot before to show us. Actually, we have visuals of how it was set up there. That's a very nice book. If any of you have seen those programs before where he's taught out of it, I love seeing those temples set up. Verse 3, here we go. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. I'm going to pull this down so I can see when someone tries to come in. Okay. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Those are iniquities. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with fools, with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Now here is the redemption through the blood of Christ. Verse 11, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, hallelujah, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but when his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he was the spotless lamb, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So Jesus had to die in order for this new covenant to take place. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God had commanded. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels in the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Let me see if I can make this. Oh, I don't have that option here, do I? To make these words bolder so they're easier to see, because they're actually difficult for me to see here even. I should read out of the Bible. Anyways, verse 24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Thank you, Lord. He is the mediator for us in heaven. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Wow. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And now let's go to chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can neither with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sin, but they still remembered, they still had that sin conscience and knew every year they had to be purged of them. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. So God didn't want this to have to be from the beginning, but it was what we had to do on this earth. But a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sacrificed, my goodness, through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Once Jesus sacrificed himself, that was the end of the need for the other sacrifices. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered the sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Verse 19, the full assurance of faith. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it really is important for us to be united in contact with each other, building each other up in our boldness at all times, and especially now. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's when it talks about in our verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the verses that we read for communion every night, where it talks about not taking communion unworthily, which means not realizing the importance of what that action is, what it stands for, and considering the blood of Jesus a common thing. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Amen. All of us say that. We are not of those who draw back. We have our faith in order. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. And it looks like Pastor is back with us. Oh. Yeah. Hebrews 9. Yeah. I read all of 9 and 10. Yes. Yep. Is your light not above your head anymore? Hello there, Roger. It's good to have you with us. Roger and Richard on YouTube. We love you guys. We're so happy to have you there. I'm having problems with my comments being sent. No, we see your comments, Roger. We see, oh, you're putting all of the times, posting the times for us. Thank you so much. Huh, and they don't look like they're chopped up. I'm not sure what they're showing you on your end, but they look good on this end, so keep it going. We so appreciate it. All right. So one of the things that, you know, we talk frequently with everything going on right now, I'm going back to the declaring and praying over our nation. We say all the time, as many times a day as you think about it, pray, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. This is another powerful weapon, is the blood of Jesus. This is the most powerful weapon. Remember that you can cover everything with the blood of Jesus, and speak that frequently. Cover our nation with the blood of Jesus. Cover Israel with the blood of Jesus, and continually bind the wicked acts of terrorism. Cast them out. We ask for God's vengeance on them. In fact, I've posted a prayer on my Facebook page, and I keep reposting it so that people have a base prayer, that if you have a minute to stop and pray that prayer, because it's us continually speaking these things into the atmosphere that keeps these, that is driving these enemies out. And you know, oh, I'm talking in the dark again. Wow. I'm not being good with this camera tonight. I did all of those prayers and never shared the screen, so I was the only one able to say them. But I'm sure we have our agreement together. Anyways, we need to always remember, too, with all of this stuff happening, the enemy acts up the worst, manifests the worst, when he knows he's being overcome. And we truly believe that that's a lot of what is happening right now, is we've, you know, the Christians have made this power grid of prayer across the nation over the past few years. And then, you know, we heard Mike Bickle, remember in what month did we do the, was it March, May? The May, we did the 21 days of fasting and prayer for Israel back then, and they're wound up with five million that were, 150, where did I get five from? 150 million people, they never, 5 million, yes, yeah, that's where I got the 5 million. But anyways, yeah, they never imagined that it would grow to that size, but it did, because so many Christians had already started standing up and making these prayer groups that were forming this power grid of prayer. And so, and that's only the people that are accounted for. How many were actually involved with that, which were one group. We were involved with it, but we never turned in our participation numbers. And so many, many probably didn't. So that's just the countable numbers that they know of. So anyways, all of this prayer has happened, and that's probably what has stirred up this enemy, which means he knows he's on his way out. We're pounding him down and driving him out, and he's kicking and screaming right now and manifesting through whoever will let him. And so that's what we're dealing with. So we just need to keep pounding him with prayer and the boldness of knowing who we are and who our God is, and that he has no right. Yeah, yeah. And they're trying to invoke fear on people. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Roger, I'm not able to comment on YouTube yet, but all of your comments seem to be coming through perfectly. We see the times, and so whatever you're seeing on your end, from this end, everything looks good. But as far as I know, I am not able to comment yet, no, because I always put a welcoming paragraph in at the beginning, and I still see it on my computer, but they won't show it anyplace else, so they just don't show my comments. That's all. But it will be okay. So while Pastor's doing that, let's talk about even when Jesus, remember the father that brought his little boy to Jesus, and he was convulsing and having seizures, and he said that the demon would throw him in the fire and he would throw him in the water and try to drown him, and wanted Jesus's help. And remember, even Jesus, when he went to cast out that demon was at its worst and literally threw that little boy down into full convulsions to the point that his body gave up, and then everybody thought he was dead. Now, Jesus didn't freak out because he knew, okay, that demon is on his way out, and that's why he's throwing a temper tantrum here, basically, is what it is. And that's what is, that's what's going on here with all of this, too. It's to a level, such an extreme level, like Pastor said, we're seeing just gruesome, horrible, the height. This is the height of demonic activity that any of us have ever seen in our lifetime. But let's drive them out even more so now because of this. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, hey, Mom.
Amen. Don't be offended at an amp. It is such a challenge at times, isn't it? No. Oh, yeah. Let me look it up this way. Oh, you got it? Okay. Yeah. 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 I think that's, yeah, 109. Yeah, Psalm 105:15. Yep. The bottom of one of those pages. Hi, Rebecca. Monday the 16th, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like almost 2.5 million or right around 2.5 million. Yeah. Yep, Damascus. Amen. Yeah. Right. Already. I have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did, and I receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Do you want me to read this or introduce this? Is the prayer of salvation? Or did you want the Corinthians verses up first? I'm not sure what you're wanting me to do here. Are you still there? Okay. Well,
here we go. Anyone who has not yet, let me undo this again for a second. Stop share. Hello. Anyone who has not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation here tonight so that you can pray this prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This has never been more vital, more important in your entire life. Not only does this change your life here on earth, it'll change your eternity. And Jesus could return for us at any moment. You want him to be your Lord and Savior so that you're out of here when he takes us off of this earth. You don't want to be left for the tribulation that's to come. So I'm going to put the prayer of salvation up on the screen so you can actually read the words. We'll pray them out loud together. And then you'll also be free to receive communion with us. And if you make this decision tonight, we would love to have you get a hold of us. Let us know that you've made that decision. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer any questions for you and help you know how to walk out this new Christian life. You do not have to know everything before you make this decision. You don't have to know anything except that you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. The rest of it is a learning process. It's a continuous process our whole lifetimes. We're all still learning. So don't feel like you have to be trying to be sin-free and already clean and have the Bible memorized before you make that decision. No, you don't. Once you make that decision, then Jesus will help put those things in order for you, and then you begin learning. And like I said, it's a lifetime of learning for all of us. We won't have all of the answers until we get to heaven. So don't feel like you have to have all of your stuff together first. Once you do that, Holy Spirit will start helping put things in order in your life for you. So what we're going to do is we'll pray the prayer of salvation, and then I'll read the verses out of the Bible that talk about communion, and then I'll put up the communion prayers in the same way. And then we'll pray over the bread and receive it, and pray over the juice and receive it. So here we go. I'm going to share the screen. And this is the prayer, or a prayer. There are different prayers of salvation. This is one of them, helping you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So here we go. Let me stop my video here and get myself out of the way. And here we go. The prayer of salvation. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and that you died and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, and mean this from the very depths of your heart, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, We'd like to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. Welcome into the kingdom of God. We're so happy for you. And this is just going to change your life. You probably already feel such a relief inside. And that's wonderful. Some people experience many different things. Some people feel like they've been just washed with water. Some people feel like they just had warm honey splashed over them. Others, you don't necessarily feel anything at the moment, but you will start inside feeling a change happening in your life. Things that used to be of such great importance to you are no longer important or will become no longer important. And other things that didn't used to be of interest to you will become an interest to you. It's an interesting change that the Lord makes within us, the Holy Spirit. So we're so happy for you. Please contact us. Our contact information will be in the notes in YouTube at the end of the program. Or also you can go to our webpage at samueljcottle.com. And that's the Community of Faith webpage in our there's information on there. There's prayers. Actually, the communion prayer is on there, too, in case you want to do that, you know, on your own. You cannot take communion too much. Acknowledging what Jesus did for us, having a grateful heart for what he's done for us. And every time we do this, we do it in remembrance of him. And that brings joy to his heart, too. So yes, the communion prayer is on there too, but our contact information as well. So please get a hold of us. Now I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 23. And this is actually the verses of scripture that talk about the communion, the last supper that Jesus had with the disciples before he was crucified. So here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death or his redemptive work until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." That means realizing we are sinners and we need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, and we're acknowledging that. That's examining ourselves and asking to be free from any unforgiveness or offense or anything. Just get yourself right in your heart. Examine yourself. "And then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner," just like we were reading tonight, "eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So God doesn't have to judge us if we do it ourselves. So judge yourself. Okay, now I'm going to put up the communion verses. First, we'll pray over the bread and then receive it, and then we'll pray over the juice and receive it. And I always like to sanctify these first. So hold up your elements. And we say, "Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord." And now here we go, sharing the verses. Oops, let me stop my video again. And here are the prayers. "Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today, this bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And now here's the prayer. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. And let's receive the bread together. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now let's pray over the juice. Lift your juice up and pray. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. And here's the prayer. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And let's receive the juice together now. We thank you, Jesus. We receive your blood filling every part of our very beings in Jesus' name. And now, you know, I was going to mention too, talking about having questions. Even if you have questions, some people that aren't familiar with the process of communion, these verses may, or prayers may even be confusing. Please ask us about them. Pastor actually is going to teach on that one of these days too. Every one of these verses are biblical. They have a biblical meaning. And but sometimes if you're not familiar with it, they can be confusing. So please don't hesitate to ask for clarity on any of that. We'd be glad to answer that for you. And it looks like Pastor is back with us. We don't hear you. Do you want me to continue? Now we can hear you, yes. Amen.
I was going to say, they're quite a challenge some days, those apps. Yes. Amen. Little after 10. And pray. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.